You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, we're so glad you're here today. You know, for the past few weeks, we've been in a series called The Blessed Life. How many of you have been with us for the past few weeks? We've been learning about what it means to embrace a life of blessing, what it means to embrace the kind of life where you're experiencing the favor and the goodness of God. And I hope you're enjoying this series and learning a lot. And, you know, I think many times when we think about the blessed life or experiencing the blessings of God, so many times I think we tend to think about what I can end up with. Especially Christians, we kind of think this way too, like what I can get out of this, what I can get from God. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with expecting a reward. The scripture says God is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. But I think sometimes we begin to think about it like, what can I get from God? What can I end up with? You know, like we put money in the offering and we kind of hope, you know, God's going to bless me back. And so it becomes like playing the divine lottery. Like if I keep giving week in and week out, eventually I'm going to hit the jackpot. Sometimes we think about it that way. You know, if I'm kind to others, if I treat others well, and I'm an honest person, God's gonna bless me with a really hot spouse. We think like this. Now, some of you already got a hot spouse. Good for you, all right? You know, if I serve God, he's gonna bless me with a really good parking spot at the mall right up front in the middle of holiday shopping season. We think about it this way sometimes. But I wanna kind of reframe blessing for you this morning. I wanna tell you that it's better than that. I think it's better than that, and it's bigger than that. In the biblical sense of blessing, it's not just about us. It's bigger than just us. In fact, I want to show you a scripture this morning. Genesis chapter 12. This is the call of Abraham. This is Abraham who would become the father of the Jewish people, right? God would make him into a great nation, this great man of faith. God saw something in him, and God began to speak to him and make these amazing promises over his life. Look at this. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Lord said to Abram, this is before he even had his covenant name of Abraham. His name was Abram. He said, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. This is the promised land, the land of Israel, the land that his family, his descendants would eventually inhabit. Look at this, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation. People of Israel, I'll make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And look at these words, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. What an amazing promise. So God begins to speak to Abraham and says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name famous. I'm going to make you into a great nation. I'm going to give you a promised land. If anybody curses you, they're going to be cursed. Come on, I've got your back. Nobody can mess with you. If anybody blesses you, I'm going to bless them. Like, what an amazing promise, right? You're going to be blessed. And Abraham indeed becomes a very blessed man. If you know the rest of the story, he inherits the land. He becomes very rich. He has land. He has silver and gold. He's got maidservants, manservants. He's got donkeys. He's got camels. Come on, in Westchester, if you want a status symbol, you might go out and buy a Porsche or a drop-top convertible Mercedes. But in Abraham's time, you were rolling in your brand new camel with three humps. Yeah, check out my new ride, baby. Rolling in my three-hump camel. Abraham was a blessed man. He went on to become a very, very blessed man. But the blessing was always bigger than just him. It wasn't just about him. Look at this in verse 2. It says, look what it says. And you will be a blessing. And then it goes on to say, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. See, the blessing wasn't just for Abraham. It wasn't supposed to just stop with Abraham. It was bigger than Abraham. God was thinking nations and generations. Now, we know that Abraham would go on to become the father of Isaac. Where are the kids at? Come on, some of you kids, you've learned about this in Redemption Kids, right? Abraham would be the father of Isaac, and Isaac would be the father of Jacob. Jacob would be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel, and eventually Israel would become a great nation, multitudes of people. They would inhabit the promised land, and we know generations later, right, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would be born to the Jewish people. born to the Jewish people. Jesus was a covenant-keeping Jewish rabbi. He was circumcised. He had a bar mitzvah. He ate kosher. He was Jewish, right? He was the ultimate fulfillment of this promise. And what did Jesus do? He was the fulfillment of all of the promises of God, all of the commands of God. All of the law was fulfilled in his life, in his ministry. He went to the cross, right? Paid for our sins, died on the cross in our place so that we could be redeemed. Our relationship with God the Father could be restored, resurrected from the grave to conquer sin, death, hell, in the grave, and he extended the promises of God from the people of Israel to the whole world. So now we can go to John 3:16 and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his son, right? That whosoever, anybody, Jesus extended this promise, anybody, whosoever will, whoever places their faith in Jesus won't perish, but have everlasting life. See, the promise was so much bigger. The blessing was so much bigger than Abraham. Now stop and think about this for just a moment. Imagine God begins speaking to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, and he's trying to process all that God's going to do in his life. Maybe Abraham had enough imagination to picture, you know, all of his descendants. Later on in Genesis, God takes him out and shows him the stars in the skies, right? And he says, this is how numerous your descendants are going to be. Maybe Abraham began to have a picture of that. And God takes him up and he shows him the promised land. And maybe Abraham could conceive one day his descendants inhabiting this land. But could Abraham possibly conceive that the Messiah, the Son of God, would come from his people who would redeem the whole world and we would be here today? The blessing was so much bigger than him. Come on, the blessing was so much bigger than him. And here's what I want to tell you this morning, church. The blessing is so much bigger than just you and me. It's not just about what we can get from God. Come on, we're blessed to be a blessing. Turn to somebody and say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. See, you and I, we're recipients of this promise. Here's what Paul tells us later on in Galatians chapter 3. He says, whoever places their faith in Christ, you become a spiritual descendant. You're a son. You're a daughter of Abraham. You're an heir to this promise. This promise has come to you and to me. We've inherited this same promise of blessing. We've gotten into the family of God. We've gotten into this new covenant, right? Because of what Jesus has done for us. And think about the amazing blessings we've received. The provision of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, right? The forgiveness and the grace and the mercy and the healing and the freedom of God. Think about all the wonderful things that God has done for us. But here's what's even better than that. It's bigger than just you and me. It's not just about what we end up with. It's about God blessing us so much so that it overflows from our life so we can bless someone else. Come on, God is still thinking big. God is still thinking nations and generations. What God wants to do in your life, it isn't just for you. God gave it to you to put it through you to bless somebody else. You are blessed to be a blessing. You're blessed to be a blessing. There's two different ways that we can think about blessing. On one end, we can think about blessing kind of stopping with us, what we end up with, you know, the goodness of God, salvation comes to me, the blessings of God come to me, or we can think about blessing flowing through us, overflowing through us. Think about it. It's the difference between a swamp and a river. Now, I'm from Louisiana. I know a little bit about swamps, okay? We got a lot of swamps where I grew up. You do not want to swim in swamp water. You might get eaten by an alligator or bitten by a snake, something like that, right? Like nobody swims in swamp water. You don't drink from swamps. You know, swamps get stagnant. They stink. The water goes there and it has nowhere to go. And it just kind of gets nasty, right? But a river, especially a shallow river without a strong current, you can swim in a river, right? Rivers make for a good source of drinking water. Rivers are fresh. They're places of life. Come on, let's not make the blessing of God a swamp when it's a river. God wants to pour out his blessing in your life so that it overflows from your life to someone else. I think that's the biblical picture of blessing. It's not just about what we can end up with. It's a divine flow. How many of you know you're really blessed when the blessing of God comes into your life to where your needs are met, but it overflows from your life so you can bless someone else? That's a true picture of blessing. That's a true picture of blessing. And so today, as we go out to serve, I want you to think of it this way. We're sharing our blessing with others. Come on, we're allowing the blessing of God to pour into our lives and overflow from us to someone else. We're rivers today. Come on, you're a river today. You're blessed to be a blessing. You're going to go out and the blessing of God is going to overflow from your life into someone else's life as you serve today. So with that thought in mind, I want to just give you a few reminders for today, okay? Remember these as you go out and serve today and every day, really, because this is who we're called to be. This isn't just a one-day thing. This is who we're called to be, right? This is who we are, church. Here's the first one. Serving is not about us. Remember, serving isn't just about you, because what God is doing in this world is bigger than you. You're just a part of it. You get to be a part of the story. You get to be a part of what God's doing. We don't serve to feel good about ourselves, although it's okay that it feels good to serve. But that's not the primary reason we do it. Not just to feel good about ourselves. We do it to be a part of God's plan, a part of what God's doing in this world. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and you can feel really good about yourself." Is that what it says? No. It says that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven, right? So we're going to let our light shine today, and today God gets all the glory. I'm so glad we began with worship today. We lifted our voices because today it's all glory to God. So repeat after me. It's not about me. It's all about Him. Come on, one more time. It's not about me. It's all about Him. It's all about Him today. So today, if you go out and you get a little bit hot and sweaty, if you're out serving somebody and they're a little bit less than thankful, maybe even rude, if you're out working in a garden and you break a nail, God forbid, or somebody rubs you the wrong way today, we're gonna remember it's not even about me today. It's all about Him, right? Today, I'm doing this for the glory of God. Serving is not about me, God. It's about honoring you today. All right. Here's the second thing. Serving is an act of worship. Somebody say worship. Come on, worship isn't just singing songs and praying in church and lifting our hands. We're gonna live out worship today, because worship is actually, it's a response. Worship is a response to all that God has done for us. I think that's the picture that we see in the Bible. When we think about the goodness of God, we think about the love of God, worship is responding by giving your life back to God to honor Him. God, You gave everything for me, so I get to give my life back to You in obedience to Your word. I get to give my life back to You. It's an act of worship. So all we're doing today is we're just paying the blessing forward. We're just paying the blessing forward. Now, all of you know that Chick-fil-A is my favorite fast food restaurant, right? You've heard me share this before, but I'm gonna say it again, right? Don't you love Chick-fil-A? Because you go into Chick-fil-A, and not only do they get your order right, and the food comes out, and it's delicious, and it comes out quick, but everybody's smiling at you. They're happy when you come in, right? The customer service experience is phenomenal. In fact, I just made friends with the owner of the largest Chick-fil-A in the world down on Fulton Street in Manhattan. He's my boy now. I got a hookup downtown. All right, I'm gonna send him this podcast. Maybe he'll sponsor Serve Day next year. Just saying. But you know, you go into Chick-fil-A, right? And everybody's smiling, right? They take your order, they're so happy to serve you, and you sit down and you're enjoying your food, and they bring you little breath mints. And they come around, they pick up your tray. Can I take your tray? Sure, you can take my tray. Can I get you a refill? They're so happy to serve you, right? And when you say thank you, how do they respond? My pleasure. Come on, it's my pleasure. You go into McDonald's or Burger King, they hate you. They're mad at you. I don't want to make your Big Mac. I don't want to make your Whopper. Get out of my face. You're one more person I got to serve. Not in Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure. God bless you. Enjoy your Christian chicken, right? Now, here's the thing we got to understand, church. We don't have to serve. We're not obligated to serve. We get to serve. When we think about all that God has done for us, come on, we think about how good God has been to us. We think about how well we've been loved. We think about how Jesus held nothing back from us. He gave everything for us. It's my pleasure to serve. God, take my life. Use me. Use my prayers. Let me be your hands and feet. I want to give back to you. I want to bless others. God, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure to serve you. That's the attitude we're going to have today, right? So today, as you're out serving this morning, as you're out there loving on people and somebody says, thank you, what are we gonna say? Like good old Chick-fil-A employees, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. God, it's my pleasure, because it's an act of worship. Here's the third thing. The third thing is serving is an expression of love. Everybody say love.
Love.
It's an expression of love. You know, we talked about this last week, but self-sacrificial love is really the only thing that's ever changed the world. Isn't it true? Self-sacrificial love is the only thing that's really ever changed the world. And that's what serving is ultimately about. It's an expression of love. Yes. Jesus served us so well. Jesus embodied this. Jesus got down, He washed His disciples' feet. We talked about last week how Jesus went low to lift us high, right? He got down into the dirt and the mess of our shame and our sin and our guilt, and He brought healing to our lives. He served us well. And it's His self-sacrificial love that's changed our hearts. It's His self-sacrificial love is the reason that we're here today. And so serving is an expression of that love. So today we get to go out and put the message into action. So many times we talk about love, we talk about sharing love with others, but today we get to go out and live it. We get to go out and do it. We get to go out and physically demonstrate it to others. So I want you to smile at people. I want you to hug people who are open to being hugged, high five somebody. I want you to, if you're bold enough, if you have an opportunity, pray for somebody today. Speak some words of encouragement into somebody's life today. Find out what somebody's need is today. I guarantee you people are more open to prayer and an encouraging word more than you even know. So if you have an opportunity today, bless somebody, encourage somebody, look for those opportunities. And can I just say this? It's not just about today. Let's put this into practice every day. There are people all around us every day who you'd be surprised. They're more open to prayer than you think. They need somebody to speak an encouraging word into their life. So whatever you do today, love somebody. Whatever you do today, do it with the love of Jesus. Whatever happens today, whether you're packing meals and or weeding a garden or picking up some trash, whatever you do, I hope you have the opportunity to put love into action today. Come on, stand with me this morning. I want to pray over you. And I want to remind you today, church, we're blessed to be a blessing. Come on, all that God has done for us, it's not just for us. It doesn't stop with us. God has always desired a people to represent him in this world. That's what the Old Testament was about. That's what the people of Israel was about. And now as New Testament Christians, that's what we are, the Church of Jesus Christ. We're the Church of Jesus Christ. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the world. Come on, we exist for the world. Jesus came to leave the greatest service organization that the world has ever seen. If we would ever get a hold of this, we could change the world. We're blessed to be a blessing. So let's go out and serve today in the very spirit of Jesus. Come on, let's catch the spirit of serving. Don't let it just stop with today, but let today be a catalyst to overflow into the rest of your year, to serve your family, your loved ones well, to serve in your church, find your place to serve on a regular basis. Come on, to look for those opportunities to make a difference in our community because we're blessed to be a blessing. Can I pray for you this morning? Father, we thank you so much that we get to give back today. God, it's our pleasure. When we think about all that you've done for us, God, when we think about how well we've been loved, God, how you've been our provision, how you gave your son for us, how you brought healing and freedom and forgiveness into our lives. God, we say today, it's my pleasure to give back today, God, to serve you with my whole life, to be your hands and feet today. God, we recognize that your blessing doesn't just come to us and stop with us, but we're blessed to be a blessing. Today, God, we want your blessing to overflow in our lives to somebody else. God, use me. Come on, somebody make this personal. Jesus, use me to be your hands and feet. Use me to be your expression of love to somebody today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.